Hi, everybody, and welcome to Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity, Dave Spadaro and Chris McPherson on an absolutely beautiful Monday at the NovaCare Complex. The Eagles on the practice field today. And, you know, all these injuries everybody's talking about, Chris, let's be honest, this is not going to be a problem in a couple of days here because a lot of these guys are already back on the field.
Yes, you saw Jerry Macklin out in action. LeSean McCoy is back on the field. Riley Cooper is working back in practice. Nolan Carroll is second. He's hoping to play Thursday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So only minor injuries, knock on wood or whatever you've got to this point, but it's very important to keep in mind that you want to see these guys in some preseason game action before the regular season gets going, but nothing major at this point for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right, and there's still some concerns. Obviously, Chris Polk's still out of practice. Josh Huff, the x-ray's negative on his shoulder. We'll find out more as the days go along with the young rookie wide receiver. But let's get you caught up on everything going on the field today. It's a beautiful day. There's a lot happening before, during, and after practice. Bo Wolf gives us the latest.
Well, 3 days away from the Eagles' all-important third preseason game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the first game this season at Lincoln Financial Field. Both coordinators met the media to talk about a few players who impressed in the second preseason game against the Patriots and what they're looking for come Thursday night.
I'm a big fan of Brent's. I think he does everything the way we ask. He certainly can catch a ball in the crowd and take a shot. He's an outstanding blocker, and he's an out-of-sight teammate, you know, so I think those are the kind of guys you want on your team.
And I think Michael, being a young player that's in the second year of the same defense, I think is a real benefit to Michael. And he's understanding the bigger picture, the bigger concepts, and it allows him, he's already a fast player, but when you allow his mind to slow down, a little bit like we're talking about Marcus and his growth, when the mind slows down and the game slows down and you're more sure of what you do, all that athleticism and quickness and burst shows itself a lot more.
Injury-wise, things are looking pretty good for the Eagles. LeSean McCoy returned to practice Tuesday after missing Monday with a sore toe, and Jeremy Macklin also returned to work on Tuesday. Both of those players talked about what they're looking to accomplish in this third preseason game after practice.
I want to really go out there, man, and be mistake-free, man, just from the penalties, missed assignments, you know, playing fast, tempo, Chip Kelly offense football, you know, and execute. Man, have some good drives. I feel like it's taking a little bit to warm up and then go. Or we need some adversity and then we're playing hard. I think from the get-go, you know, go out there and line up, be fast, and put some points up.
I got a chance to run around, run some routes, then go out there. Tomorrow's kind of a no-sweat day for us, but then Wednesday another chance to go out there, run around, and then should be able to go on Thursday.
There is no scheduled availability for the media tomorrow, but of course we will be back here on Inside Training Camp on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Back to you guys in the studio.
Great stuff there from Bo. One of the Eagles legends took an Eagles practice, and Dave, you had a chance to sit down with Weapon X himself, Eagles Hall of Fame safety Brian Dawkins.
Yeah, Brian Dawkins in town, comes in every year here with Chip Kelly running the show and talks to the team and is very inspirational. And obviously, anytime you get a chance to talk to Brian Dawkins, you take advantage of that opportunity. And when we return to Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity, we sit down with Brian Dawkins, number 20.
When you get away from smartphones and video games and tablets, it's amazing what you can really plug into. This season, shop the brands you love, plus thousands of items on sale now. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Hey, Eagles fans, we welcome you into the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by a very special guest, a member of the Eagles Hall of Fame, the 75th anniversary team, soon to be, we hope, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame from ESPN, B-Doc. Brian Dawkins joins us.
All right.
Welcome to the NovaCare Complex.
Appreciate it. Appreciate
what's,
it.
What's it like for you to come back?
It's always a blessing to come back. You know, it's very familiar with the place. Anytime that I start even landing in Philadelphia, it's like I'm returning home. So it's always a blessing to get back and get a chance to talk to some of the guys and kind of, you know, tell them what I see a little bit sometimes.
When you watch today's NFL practice, what do you think, Brian? It's a lot different than it was when you were in the NFL.
It's a lot different. And it's a good thing in a lot of ways because it's going to save guys, prayerfully, life after football. They won't hopefully go through some of the things that, you know, some of our guys that played before us are going through now. But at the same time, that's it makes you become more of a professional. You should become more of a professional because you have to get your work done. The practices won't be long. You don't have pads on for a long period of time. It may be not as physical as we did, but you still have to get out of practice what you need to get out. So it's, to me, it's really on the individual to make sure that they get out of the practice what they need to get out of it.
I find when I watch Chip's practice, the level of efficiency is off the charts. I mean, players are busy every second of practice. It's really remarkable with all the commotion that goes on, how organized everything is.
Yeah, and in the midst of that chaos, you still have to be able to focus. And I think that that's one of the things that that helps this ball club, because guys running the hurry up offense, you're changing the defense in and out, and you have to line up again, think on the fly, hear the music, see the formation, still be able to get all your checks in. So when the game comes, you won't have the music. You'll have a crowd noise. The offenses probably won't be playing at the same tempo as the Eagles do. So defensively, you should be able to communicate and get everybody on the same page.
Your perspective of what Chip Kelly and this football team accomplished last season, last place in 2012, first place in the NFC in 2013.
I mean, it was remarkable. Like, they surprised me. I did not think in 1 year they would be able to do what they did, and they did it, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Did not know enough about Oregon to realize that they ran the ball quite a bit. That's why they were Eagles were number one in the league last year running the football. So that in itself opened my eyes to what this offense could potentially do, because you still have to play the run against a team that's trying to spread you out. And so that puts a lot of onus on the defensive backs to tackle in the open field. And not a lot of teams do a good job, in my opinion, of teaching tackling, even though we don't wear pads a lot in today's NFL. I think the Seattle does a good job. 49ers does a good job. The Rams do a good job. Certain teams have learned how to tackle in the midst of all of this. Defensively, I think that towards the second half of the season, you saw them begin to play a lot better. They understood the defense a little better. The mistakes weren't as plentiful as they were early in the season, and they began to get turnovers. So a second year in a system usually is when you can really get, I guess, a real good feel and sense of what this team is going to do, because now I know what I'm supposed to do.
Right. How does it change for players when you become the hunted team? The Eagles are now the hunted team.
Well, in the division, you mm-hmm. can say that, but they didn't win the ultimate. They lost to the Saints at home. Mm-hmm. So if I'm on this team, that stings, because I lost at the crib and we had a chance to. We had the lead. If I'm on the defensive side of the ball, especially going into this year, I'm ticked off because we had the lead and then it was given away because we could not get off the football field. So that stings enough for me that we are still the hunter. We're not the hunted. Now, Dallas and those teams may be trying to come get us. But, again, we had to beat Dallas to even get into the playoffs last year. So, to me, we're still hunting because we did not get what we wanted to get, and that's to win the Super Bowl.
Is it hard to make that next step? I mean, you did it with Andy Reid as the head coach. Is it hard to get to that next level even?
It's always hard,
yeah.
But it can be done when you have the right guys in the locker room. There's a focus that has to be there. There's a oneness that has to be there, in my opinion. You can't – one guy with a lot of focus will not drive a football team. To me, every guy has to have a position, has to have my place. This is where I belong. This is what I'm going to do. If I'm a special teams guy, I'm going to be the best special teams. If I'm a gunner, I'm going to be the best gunner in the National Football League. You know, we have Dornbos. I'm going to be the best snapper. He is one of the best, if not the best snapper in the league. So every guy has to have that mentality when he touches the football field. And then accountability. That's what we had. We had accountability for one another. So when the mistake was made, it wasn't, I made a mistake, no big deal. No, it was, man, I made a mistake. I just let my partners down. Dude, I will not let that happen again. That's what we had. That's why we played so long, so well, so long together, because we trusted one another, and then we can hold one another accountable.
You feeling good about this football team?
It's some work to be done. There's some work to be done. You know, defensively, the way that the rules are being called, especially right now, you can't hurt yourself. This past game against the Patriots hurt themselves. Face masks, holding, allowing them to get third downs. You can't do that in today's NFL. So if I know I can't do it in the game, don't do it in practice. Learn in practice so when I get on the playing field, we won't give a team yardage or give the team long drives.
So great to see you.
All right.
Brian Dawkins,
appreciate
thanks so much for joining us in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Sweat. It says I was here. I worked here. It says I only have so much to give before I have to take. What I lose, I want to get back. Sweat says I earn this. Gatorade, created to help replace what you sweat out.
The moment we dare to imagine is the moment progress begins. In a flash, the inconceivable becomes everyday. Imagine someone doing the same for healthcare. At Jefferson, we've brought together some of the brightest minds in medicine, in research and innovation, resulting in advancements that will touch lives in amazing ways. You might not see how a health sciences university, an academic medical center, and spectacular collisions of imagination can change your future, but you will.
What's real and what's not about Bud Light's Town Whatever USA? Let's clarify. Not real. Real. Probably not real.
No, I have questions.
You and a friend experiencing 3 days of full-on whateverness?
Real.
A Bud Light tourism team looking for people in bars across America? Real. Me? Feeling real. Creds? Real enough.
I went to law school?
Bud Light is creating a town this summer, and you could go. Find out more at upforwhatever.com.
Eagles fans, enter to win 2014 season tickets, courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/CSNPhillyWeekly for your chance to get lower-level seats to every home game this season. We welcome you back to Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity. Now it's time to take a look at the safety position. We know Malcolm Jenkins is going to be there, and Nate Allen and Earl Wolf having a heated competition for the other starting job. What about some of the players in reserve? Well, one of those candidates, fifth-round draft pick Ed Reynolds from Stanford, started the OTAs at school, missed all of the work here, so he begins training camp behind the curve. Well, has he caught up? Well, he's our player in focus with Melissa Kelly.
Fifth-round draft pick Ed Reynolds may have been born to play football. His father, Ed Reynolds Sr., played for the New York Giants and the New England Patriots, giving him an early look at NFL action as a young child. As part of Stanford's fearsome defense, he started in 27 games and received third-team All-America honors. Recently, he discussed the hardest part of the transition between college and the NFL.
I think it's just continuing to be able to read offenses and adapt. You know, in the NFL, our defenses are really based on, you know, what the offense has given us and then what we can do to best, you know, disrupt their timing, disrupt the spacing. So as a safety, you know, you're back there making all the calls. You're telling the corners what we need to play, linebackers what they need to play. So just being able to see that stuff on the go, especially against RO with all of our motions, all of our you know, shifts, all that kind of stuff. But it's coming to me.
Veteran safety Malcolm Jenkins has seen Reynolds blossom during training camp so far and has also taken the rookie under his wing.
I think think he's been good, man. I think he's grasped the defense well. He flies around, does what you want him to do. So we're looking forward to, you know, him getting a lot more reps in the game and just seeing how productive he can be.
Tight end Zach Ertz played with Reynolds at Stanford and has high hopes for his former Cardinal teammate.
He was behind like me at the beginning of training camp, having that whole graduation rule at the beginning. So it kind of started off slow, but I think he's getting better each and every day, and that's all you can really ask for a young player.
You can watch Reynolds and the Eagles finally return home to Lincoln Financial Field this Thursday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can catch the game locally at 7:30 p.m. on 6ABC. That's all for Player in Focus. Now back to you guys in the studio.
Dave, do you play a little fantasy football?
I don't any longer. I
no more.
I'm not very good at it.
You're missing out, to say the least.
Well, I know that. I know everybody else out there is playing fantasy football. You guys have a good time.
Certainly. The Eagles have a plethora of playmakers here on offense. We're going to have Bo Wolf, who sat down with Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com to unearth some of the diamonds in the rough, the fantasy sleepers, so to speak, for the 2014 season.
Welcome inside the Fantasy Spin here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Bo Wolf and Joe Dolan of FantasyGuru.com getting you ready for your respective fantasy drafts. And Joe, we're going to talk about everybody's favorite topic today, sleepers. And we'll start with, admittedly, a rival, Dallas Cowboys. They've got a backup running back you like.
Yeah, his name's Lance Dunbar. And there's a couple reasons I like Lance Dunbar. Unfortunately, I don't think either one is really good for the Dallas Cowboys. And
you're speaking my language now.
Yeah, exactly. The first and foremost reason is DeMarco Murray is always hurt. Now, DeMarco Murray is a fantasy stud. Last year, in a PPR league, he scored double-digit fantasy points in every game he appeared in. If you might remember, Shady McCoy was the only one to do it in all 16 games. But that's the rub with Murray. He's always injured. And I don't think anybody on that roster, whether it be Joseph Randall or Ryan Williams, is ready to take the number two job from Lance Dunbar. And there's another reason I really like Dunbar. It's the fact that the Cowboys' defense is pretty terrible. And I think they're going to throw a heck of a lot this year. The new play caller, Scott Linehan, comes from the Detroit Lions. And if you remember last year in Detroit, he juggled the running backs, Reggie Bush and Joique Bell, like chainsaws are juggled in a circus. And I think there's going to be both a role for Murray and Dunbar here, even when Murray is healthy. Dunbar is a really speedy guy. He's a good receiver. He's somebody who is actually pretty cheap right now. Way too cheap for a guy who's backing up somebody who is as often injured as Murray is.
As much as I would like to continue talking about how terrible, how putrid, how awful that Cowboys defense is, we'll keep talking about sleepers. And let's go to Tennessee, where they've got a wide receiver with some of the most impressive athleticism that we've seen in the league.
You know, Bo, everybody wants to know who's the next Josh Gordon. And by that, they mean a young receiver who comes out of nowhere and can dominate the NFL. If I knew that, I'd be getting paid more than I am now. I'd probably be in a front office somewhere. But I see some similar traits in Justin Hunter. And a lot of reason Justin Hunter is kind of affordable in drafts right now is the fact that people don't really trust the quarterback situation in Tennessee. But if you remember, Josh Gordon last year kind of did it with nobody in Cleveland. He did it with Brian Hoyer. He did it with Jason Campbell. He did it with Brandon Whedon. And if Jake Locker manages to stay healthy for 12 to 14 games, I don't see a reason why Justin Hunter can't have a really nice year in Tennessee. He's very affordable right now. And while he only caught 18 passes last year, he averaged nearly 20 yards a catch, and he had two 100-yard games in the 3 weeks after Thanksgiving. This guy is a potential superstar talent with a lot working against him, but that just means you can get him in the later rounds. I love him as one of the last receivers on your roster.
I like that we got a subtle dig at the Cowboys with the Brandon Whedon reference there. Our last guy is from the New England Patriots. Rookie running back James White is a player you want to keep an eye on.
Well, when James White was drafted out of the University of Wisconsin, I really liked the fit because he does things that Bill Belichick likes. He was the best pass protector in this entire draft out of the backfield. And as you know these days, that's something that gets running backs benched. And Bill Belichick is a guy who will bench his running backs. If you had Stephen Ridley last year, you know that all too well. Also with Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen, they're each in the last year of their contracts. So I think Bill Belichick and the Patriots are starting to build for the future here. James White was a fourth-round draft pick. He's not really a high-pedigree guy out of the University of Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, one of their other backs, Melvin Gordon, is probably going to be a much higher-touted prospect coming out this coming year. But as a very good receiver, a very good pass protector, and as a guy who rarely fumbled in college, I think James White's got a shot to get number one snaps in New England as early as this year. You could get him around the 10th, 11th round in a 12-team draft, and I think that's a really good spot for him. Use him as one of those guys to fill out your running back roster, and you might get a nice flex or even a number two running back by the end of the year.
I can't think of any other way to throw shade at the Cowboys here. So instead of that, we will close the segment. That's it for your sleepers. Follow Joe Dolan on Twitter at FG_Dolan. Stay tuned for more Fantasy Spin here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And now for some fun and jocularity after practice. The Santander Media Field Goal Kicking Challenge, including Chris and myself and other members of the media covering the Eagles, an opportunity to kick for charity. And the purpose, we'll see what we can do with an opportunity to kick a field goal. And it wasn't all that pretty.
No, not whatsoever. We're not used to having our highlights shown here. I don't know if you'd call them highlights.
I don't think I would call them highlights. Yeah. Anyway, let's go out to Bo Wolf for some of the ugly details.
After practice, Santander had a contest for members of the media to kick field goals for charity. I choked. I will not be sleeping tonight.
All right, so enough of that. Let's get back to the real football. The Eagles and the Steelers preseason game number 3 on Thursday night. Kickoff at 7:30 from Lincoln Financial Field. You can watch it, of course, on 6ABC locally and follow all the action right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, including the immediate reaction following the football game. A crucial game, game number 3 of this 2014 preseason.
The dress rehearsal, the last chance to see the starters in extended action in the preseason. You want to see the play being sharp, being crisp. Make sure that they're good to go for that opener against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's right. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. For Chris McPherson, I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.